Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. During a TV interview, no direct answer from former Speaker Nancy Pelosi when asked if President Biden should continue his presidential campaign. And Hollywood A-lister George Clooney now calling for Biden to exit the 2024 race, saying this is about age, nothing more. On Capitol Hill, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says,
there will be a consensus at some point. I can't tell you when, but hopefully it will be as soon as possible.
This as Mr. Biden was busy meeting with world leaders in Washington for the NATO summit, telling them the alliance is stronger than ever.
Since I took office, we've doubled the number of battle groups in NATO's eastern flank, and the United States has. Finland and Sweden have joined the alliance.
The House passing a bill requiring proof of U.S. citizenship for voter registration, the GOP priority not expected to pass the Democrat-led Senate. Chicago business leaders, wealthy families, and philanthropic organization raising $100 million to help fight crime. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The former warden at the Waupun State Prison is waiving his preliminary hearing. Randall Hepp's lawyer is also withdrawing a motion to have a felony charge of misconduct dismissed. Eight other former prison employees also face charges for allegedly mistreating inmates. People are speaking out about long-running problems at Wisconsin State Prisons. Cindy Sherwin is a former prison guard who was let go after 27 years. She says it was retaliation for whistleblowing.
As soon as Act 10 went into place, the supervisors and administration, from my experience, became their own higher powers.
Former guards, inmates, and relatives testified to the Assembly's Corrections Committee yesterday. They described sexual harassment and retaliation by supervisors and food and medicine denied to inmates. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Third Congressional District Democratic candidates have been wrapping up their campaigns in recent weeks ahead of the August 13th primary. Rebecca Cook was in La Crosse yesterday to hold a roundtable discussion at the La Crosse Public Library. Eric Wilson appeared at public events over the July 4th weekend, and Katrina Shanklin has been releasing TV ads, with the latest one out today criticizing her primary opponents for having never held public office. The three candidates will appear at a forum next Tuesday in Eau Claire. The Mississippi River continues to fall after weeks of flooding. In La Crosse, the river crested over a week ago at just under 15 feet. The Mississippi River is expected to drop below flood stage this weekend at La Crosse, with a river flood warning in place through next Monday morning. The river should also drop below moderate flood stage at 13 feet sometime tomorrow. The Mississippi River's crest has already moved downstream past Wisconsin, although flood warnings are still up for the next several days until the river comes all the way down. For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers get clobbered at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was one of the worst losses of the year. The Pirates beat the Brewers 12-2. Pittsburgh with five home runs in the game, including a grand slam by the Pirates catcher, Joey Bart, in front of over 26,000 fans at American Family Field. Manager Pat Murphy, after the debacle.
We haven't had one of those games in a while, especially at home. We've been in every single game. I bragged everybody about being in 85 and 90 games. But credit to the Pirates, they did a great job. Took us out of it. Not going to win a lot of games with five or six hits.
The two teams playing again tonight. Closer Devin Williams, making progress, throwing to live batters during warm-ups. He's coming back from stress fractures in his back. NBA, the Bucks have added former Detroit Pistons guard Stanley Umude, 6'6", appeared in 28 games for Detroit. Racing, Brad Mueller, named the winner at the Slinger Nationals early this morning after Andrew Morrissey disqualified because his car did not meet standard measurements. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Stray storm or two this evening, otherwise some clearing overnight and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. High mid-80s, low storm chance. Sunshine and a high in the mid-80s on Friday. Slight storm chances for the weekend. Highs upper 80s to low 90s. It's 82 right now.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area.
Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location from River Falls for the 50th anniversary of River Falls Day on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour with Todd and Trigby. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Eagle 1490 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, that's what we do. Got a little bit of a tongue twister there for some reason, Johnny Lupinacci. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, too. You know, we're in a heat wave out here in the Northwest. I believe a lot of our listeners are in a little bit of a wet weather.
Yeah.
I don't think there's rain headed up that way from leftover from the hurricane. But like yesterday, most of the country's warm. It's summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot happening. Politics have heated up. They were already kind of warm and hot, but they've heated up most certainly.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But before we get too far into things, Tim, we got to throw a shout out to our friends at Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who are big time advocates of public education and are always working hard to build community and to make great beer. They advertise this, so I'll share it. And I love that they brag about this. The most sued brewery in America. Why? Because they're defending not only public education, but democracy. They're standing up to the big dogs out there. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, where you can see what they have to offer, and you can buy their progressive beer.
Nice. And swag, t-shirts, coffee mugs, you name it. It's all there. Minocqua Brewing Company. Johnny, it's Educators Amplified Wednesday night. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna in the house. Both of them in the house. We got them back. Summer, they're traveling back and forth. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, checking in with you guys. You guys have both kind of been to different places. Anything exciting where you've been when you haven't been with the show? I mean, give us a little, you know, field trip report.
Well, I was going to say, hey, Johnny, I was on the West Coast. I just got back from San Diego. Ooh. So that was fun. Yeah. Mm. And right when we were leaving, we were hearing about the heat wave. And I was like, this is glorious. So I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I'm sure it's different. But it was amazing. San Diego. Recommend it.
Nice.
Great place, man. Best weather in the country all year round.
Yes, it was amazing.
75 really and sunny. Teacher Joanna, how you been?
I've been good. You know, I had told you that I was in Puerto Rico a few weeks ago, and I brought my dad back with me. Okay. So that's kind of what I've been up to lately. I've been hanging with dad.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. Taking care of, you know, our elders is something we do. I know I'm spending a lot of time, you know, doing that, caretaking, mother-in-law. It's just something we got to do. And we, you know, some days you're like, but other days you're like, you know, goodness, we can provide for that. Sherry and Horicon, good evening, friends. Good evening to you too, Sherry. Always love when you get to say hi. Yeah, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And on every Wednesday night, it's Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna too. Just a reminder, Educators Amplified, when we talk about that as your kind of tagline, but that was your podcast that the two of you put together, correct? Give me a little refresher on Educators Amplified.
Yeah. You know, Educators Amplified simply, but after this, Joanna, we'll talk more big picture. But simply, I'd say, you know, we came together to amplify what's really going on in education from those on the front lines, educators, because so much of what we hear about in the media, you know, or from anything about education is not from the actual educators, the people working with students, your children. And so we just saw it's, we could just tell it's so important to actually hear about what's going on. And now it's really morphed into, or in our heart of hearts, it's also just to be a space of connection, a space of empowerment, a space where educators can come, speak freely, or just feel like they're understood and heard.
Nice. Teacher Joanna.
Captured it well. Right. We're a space, we're a movement, and we've kind of always adapt to whatever's happening. We started out with live radio and events, morphed into a podcast. Now we primarily are speaking with you guys and working with small groups of teachers.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, you say the Educators Amplified, so that explains then your title there. You're amplifying educators. As we said, way too often when it comes to talk about education, what's happening in schools, what's happening with districts. Yeah, it's typically not the educators we want to talk to. Teacher Joanna, you got that?
Well, I was just going to say, right. It is someone speaking for us or using our words through their own filter. Like we would say one thing, we would often talk to our leaders and they'd be like, so what you're saying is, and I'd be like, no, that is not what I just said. So we need that direct line to hearing from teachers themselves.
I was going to say, but Joanna, I didn't really want you to say what you meant to say. I wanted you to say what I wanted you to say.
Well, that is part of it.
is that school leadership 101 right there?
Well, I just really think that things have really changed.
Yeah.
And most of our leaders, their training is pre-COVID. And here in Wisconsin, pre-Act 10. Mm. And those are really two defining experiences for current educators. So where a lot of leaders will say, you know, like, oh, yeah, I was a teacher, too. Sure. Respect that. But there's really not a lot of leaders that we've encountered that have this current context and experience. And they're certainly, hey, y'all are in the teacher training world. I don't know that all of your ed leadership has, you know, arrived to the present circumstances.
The disconnect between what Johnny and I do teaching future educators, which is also sometimes future teacher leaders. I mean, I have worked with a principal licensing program, a superintendent licensing program, and yeah, the connection back to realizing. And so I think what you're saying is the more we could actually have more teachers informing the voices of leadership. In fact, even to the point of saying, you know what, why don't you let us talk sometimes and let us get out the message about what's actually happening in our classroom? Because what's happening in my classroom, I bet people would be really interested to hear from me.
Well, I've always been stunned and literally stunned that they're not more curious. Like, I would want to know, right? Even now I'm in high school. So I asked my elementary friends, like, what are you experiencing? What's it like? What are you seeing? What are the new things you're worried about? What are the things that are going well? I've really been stunned by the lack of curiosity, but I think that has to do with, oh man, what's it called? Like the logic of confidence. Mm-hmm. That leaders feel they have to project. They have to put everything through the logic of confidence of that, like, oh, I mean, and oh my gosh, that's been my frustration of listening to school board meetings since Act 10. If you listen to a school board meeting, most of them, everything's fine. Everything's great. They've got the perfect solution. They're making the best decision. And so whereas if we had teachers, and again, not that we're pessimists and negative, but we bring a critical, like the beautiful kind of critical lens that you were talking, like a loving challenge to things that are brought forward and saying how they may or may not apply for our profession, and certainly to what that's going to be like in practice and not just theory.
I just heard something I think I want on a t-shirt. It's either beautifully critical or critically beautiful. Either way, I just that's just sounded so nice, Johnny. You know what I'm saying? Man, I know. Yeah, it's just like critically beautiful, beautifully critical. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. So that's Educators Amplified. So glad to have you guys with us every Wednesday, and truly, truly excited to have both of you back in the house today, because, man, we got a lot to talk about. There's been some great shows. I know you guys have been paying attention and listening, but I mean, last night talking about social justice teaching with Jesse Hagopian and the Rethinking Schools, and I know you guys have some comments there. Also, though, too, recognizing that what's happening, I mean, Teacher Joanna, you are with the Milwaukee Public School System, you know, a little heads up what's going on in Milwaukee, what's been happening. We know the last part was that there's a budget, and when we say a budget issue, it was a complication. We want to revisit that a little bit to talk about, you know, more of those things. And then, yeah, as we move into, though, critically beautiful, beautifully critical, is that some form of citizen preparation to possibly get children to be critically beautiful and censored? Yeah, you know what I'm saying about it. John Upanachi, jump in there and help me out, man.
Okay, well, you just asked Joanna for an update on the Milwaukee.
I know. We're going to get to it.
Okay, I'll hop in. But, man, then I want to hear, too, because we did talk a little bit about Milwaukee Public Schools and the budget debacle and things. And I think it's probably, you know, also connected across our country to what Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are saying. Like, how often are we listening to the people closest to the decisions that need to be made? And that's teachers and students, right? That's the folks in those classrooms doing that work. You know, Tim, I love this beautifully critical, critically beautiful, because I want there to be an effort. And as part of a social justice educator, it's really reclaiming critical, because critical became sort of this like curmudgeon kind of like, super smart, but I read about this and I know the problems and I point my fingers and I can critique stuff, which that's actually just like a tiny piece of bad habits associated with critical. Critical means to create and negate, to both be able to say there's something better we can all do. There's a better way to think through this together. It's not right in front of us. How do we figure this out?
Busted pencils, yeah. Fully leaded education talk. We've been asking you a little bit of freeze right there. Critically beautiful, beautifully critical. We definitely have it. But Teacher Joanna, in fact, we're going to go deep into that throughout the show today. But yeah, you know, 1 minute left. So the budget debacle in Milwaukee continues?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard many updates myself, to be honest. There was the article that maybe I think Civic Media referenced maybe about a week ago, but truly, like, as an employee, I haven't heard any updates. I know that my just thoughts in general, because I don't think I've spoken about it at all. Oh. We're just, you know, I'm aware of the extreme talent shortages in all areas of public schools, from the central office down to, you know, our lunchrooms and school buses. So
that's busted pencils. Teacher Joanna, actually, we're going to let you come back on that when we get back. Teacher Joanna, looking at the Milwaukee budget debacle. Educators Amplified, busted pencils. More when we get back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
To wait and let that come in. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education, and Wednesday night, Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Critically Beautiful, Beautifully Critical. We're going to go more with that too as we get into the show. Teacher Joanna, yeah, I didn't realize when we talk about the budget debacle, and just to remind people, in Milwaukee, it was the state gave Milwaukee more money than this Milwaukee was supposed to get, and now Milwaukee is trying to figure out how to give back what was overly given to them. Is that kind of the what you remember of how to frame this?
Well, and what I'm reading is just that it's due to like understaffing in the finance department, and people would, you know, so understaffing, and then with that understaffing, really inexperienced people. And to me, that's parallel to what we see happening in the teaching profession as well. Yeah. We have, you know, staffing issues. And then so we have a, you know, and then we have a lot of inexperienced people. So that's what I meant by that, of like, we're a public school entity. Yeah, I don't know how many people who go to college for finance are coming in to work at a public school where again, like your finances are really pretty fixed. I don't know. Like, I'm totally winging it talking. I just, no. Those are the pieces that I read about that came out saying that this was a result of a department that was not properly staffed and didn't have a lot of experience.
It sounds like what you're saying too, and Johnny has said this before, is, I mean, this is what happens when you defund public education. All of this, you end up with, you know, again, inexperience, potentially maybe even not the correct software to manage it. Because we point out, Milwaukee Public School System is a huge, huge organization. We're not talking about a high school, an elementary school, and a middle school here. We're talking tons and tons of square miles and real estate, numbers of students. So the idea of keeping the finances straight, you got to know what you're doing. You got to really, really know, and you got to have people who have had experience knowing how to do this, because it gets really funky. And yeah, Teacher Joanna, that's where I've really kind of come down and hearing this is going like, well, you know what? It is really complicated, and there may have been a miscalculation, but you know, the people that you gave us the ability to hire and the amount of support you've been able to give us, potentially it could have been even worse. You know, and the way you make that connection too, to, geez, aren't we doing that all across the public school sector, from teachers to bus drivers to everybody? It's just like we're underfunding, defunding to the point, and then we get angry and or ask questions about going, I wonder why things aren't working so great.
Yeah, but there really hasn't been a lot of updates. And so I'm watching the news like the rest of you.
Well, Teacher Hallie, though, on this one, though, Busted Pencils, just wanted to welcome you back into the show. We come into Milwaukee, that budget is there. But so you heard Jesse Agopian talking last night on Rethinking Schools. And we're talking about social justice teaching. And I know Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanne, you guys have said That's actually kind of like really the heart of what you guys have been trying to talk about when you're teaching this thing we term social justice. So, Teacher Hallie, when you hear social justice teaching, what does that make you think you would be doing in a classroom?
Well, I'll offer that it is interesting because while Joanna is in Milwaukee and she has those sets of concerns, needs, whatever, you know, with like the news, being in her face about all this. I'll also offer that I'm in southeastern Wisconsin in a very conservative community. So if I even ever identified myself as a social justice teacher, I'd be canned. And so that's where I get like education can be difficult at times because the jargon can be very Frankensteined. And honestly, as an educator, when I hear that, like as an individual, I hear that as like you're honoring the lived experiences of children. You know, like I just view it as like instead of being like, here's the curriculum that everybody needs to be force-fed, it's honoring, respecting, helping children bring out like how have your lived experiences helped strengthen you, helped made you resilient, yada, yada, yada. So individually, I look at it like that. But big picture and from like a school system, I sadly don't see many school districts that can say that they're socially just or that even promote an environment that would allow for children's lived experiences to be honored. So that's kind of how I hear all of that. Like, I love it. Great idea. Yes, yes, yes. And then what's actually going on in education, I don't think supports individuals or groups of people, the whole system being able to do it.
So it's not a very socially just system is what I'm hearing you talk about moving in there.
I guess so.
Johnny Lupinacci, you got a thought there. I can see it.
Well, Tim, I mean, I'm lucky. I've never had to or, you know, been faced with the choice of was I teaching in a district where I couldn't identify as a social justice educator. Detroit Public Schools squarely identified as social justice centered. So that was very focused. When I taught with the Jesuits, that was part of their core belief system. Social justice was explicitly in the missions of the schools. And then, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a job in a teacher education program where the mission statement of our department and our colleges partnering with diverse communities for social justice and sustainability. So I've been lucky, like I've had that backing. Again, I'm in the state of Washington. There's legislative, it is law that every child deserves and ought to needs to be given anti-racist education opportunities, our public schools. Now, does that mean it's happening? That's I'm coming back to like what Teacher Hallie brought up. Does that mean it's happening? I don't think it is. And that sort of confirmation a little bit in our conversation, Teacher Hallie is saying like there are districts you can't even identify as that. And that's probably more common than my experience teaching. And then in addition to that, even where I taught, even though it was in mission, I wasn't too sure we were great at it all the time or that we were doing it. We were playing school like the districts that are saying, not here, we don't do that social justice stuff. So I think it's a big high need. And I love how Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna bring it back to just, it's really about caring about respecting and honoring all children. It's really about saying, here's how we learn to value ourselves, to value one another, to care about ourselves, to care about one another. And here's where the content we're learning helps us do that. That's really important. So I love this conversation, but the sad truth is, I do think it's not happening as often as we might like it to be or dream that it would.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education and educators amplified. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna in the house. The number's 855-752-4842. Jump in there. What is social justice teaching to you? Give us the question. I'm going to pose this for everybody as we're going into break. Is social justice an ideology or is it a practice? And because I kind of hear you guys talking about, you know, or is it that we wish it was a practice, but we're not there yet? We're going to answer that question more. Busted Pencils, Educators Amplified when we get back.
Yeah. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Expanded Amtrak service in Wisconsin is a hit with passengers. More than 18,500 people rode the Borealis trains between St. Paul and Chicago during its first month of running. That's about 300 passengers each trip. Marriage equality is making gay people happier and healthier. That's according to a new study from UCLA. Abby Goldberg is a psychology professor who says same-sex relationships are stronger and more secure.
They have access to health insurance. They are physically and mentally healthier. They're able to share the challenges and work of raising children.
The same study finds 80% of same-sex couples are concerned politicians and courts could take their rights away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The City Council will discuss an appeal from Mayor Mitch Reynolds about the historic designation of the South Library, which is up for sale after being closed for budget reasons. Reynolds cited multiple parts of this municipal code in saying the library shouldn't be a historical building. If the council agrees, it would clear the way for developers to renovate or demolish the library. Dozens of emailed public comments that are included with the City Council agenda packet for tomorrow's meeting oppose the mayor's appeal. Third Congressional District Democratic candidates have been ramping up their campaigns in recent weeks ahead of the August 13th primary. Rebecca Cook was in La Crosse yesterday to hold a roundtable discussion at the La Crosse Public Library and put out a new TV ad today. Eric Wilson appeared at public events over the 4th of July weekend, and Katina Shanklin has been releasing TV ads all summer, with the latest one criticizing her primary opponents for having never held public office. The three candidates will appear in a forum next Tuesday in Eau Claire. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Cena has announced he is retiring from professional wrestling. Cena, a 16-time WWE champion, first made a name for himself in the early 2000s as rapper The Doctor of Thugonomics and recently appeared naked behind a suspiciously small piece of cardboard at the Oscars. The Ricky Stenicki star says he will focus more on acting but will give wrestling fans a farewell tour and that he's just physically at the end. Making Cena even cooler is that he will host Discovery's Shark Week 2024. Willie Nelson received a warm welcome on July 4th in Camden, New Jersey, his first appearance after a health scare. According to the New York Post, the 91-year-old music legend took the stage at his annual 4th of July picnic event after having had to take a musical knee for a couple of weeks due to doctor's orders. Nelson performed two shows in Wisconsin in mid-May, in Madison and Milwaukee. He is back with the Outlaw Music Festival tour, performing with Bob Dylan, Robert Plant, and Alison Krauss. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Stray storm or two this evening, otherwise some clearing overnight and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high mid-80s, low storm chance. Sunshine and a high in the mid-80s on Friday. Slight storm chances for the weekend. Highs upper 80s to low 90s. It's 82 right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, this week with State Assembly Rep Francesca Hong.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education with Educators Amplified. Yeah, it's Wednesday night, and Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are in the house. We're talking beautifully critical, critically beautiful, and social justice teaching gets a bad rap sometimes, potentially, or it could potentially also, maybe it's not really even occurring when we think it is happening, or are there times when, what we might call social justice teaching, is it really just people advocating things that have nothing to do with social justice? Hallie, I'm going to read a quote from you, though, that you had put in as we came into the show. We can't keep kids in the containers of reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are complex beings who benefit from the social interactions with their peers and having conversations among them with healthy adults. And that goes with what we were hearing during the break. Power with. Make sense of that.
Well, I just... I'm upset, or I just, what's been surrounding me lately is that there's no real conversations about like what teaching and learning really is and what public education is for, or what's its purpose, or what is it serving. And there is a dominant force trying to say that public schools should just be reading, writing, and arithmetic, that open up the brain, shove it inside. That's all that you should do. And obviously, from my experience as an educator working with children, no offense to those people, but I can tell they've never worked with children. Because working with children is complex. There's so many diverse needs. And so something that I just really value about public education is that concept of like, it's peers being able to socialize with peers that are different, come from different backgrounds, have different situations at home, have seen different things. And so let's just talk about it, you know, not in a way of being like, you know, this is what it has to be for everybody, but I think it can increase a child's ability to see things outside of their own, you know, their own bubble, you know, and that to me, or what I know, is education, and then how children truly learn is through processing that with other peers. And so that's really what I mean by all of that. But I know that connecting back to social justice and even what I just said, in order to have all of that, you have to preserve the high quality professionals that are in the schools and create those healthy environments and have the adults then be healthy to be able to foster these type of conversations. Like, that's true quality education. So yeah, I think, you know, it takes a lot, but it can be done.
I do. Teacher Joanna, you got that look of going,
You have a little murky.
Well, it was making me think about, I can't even exactly remember, but something you and I were talking about earlier today, Hallie, with the acknowledgement that teaching really is very PC. So when we are like accused of like sharing an ideology, I cannot remember, you know, I've been teaching, this is my, I've completed my 28th year. And I think what I became really good at, or what teaching is how to facilitate, not just, you know, it's not the old view of like the sage on the stage where I just stood in front of my students and spewed and expected them to listen. Like, the majority of my teaching was so interactive, where every voice mattered or could contribute. And so one, I think that sometimes when people talk about education, they really are talking about a picture of a long time ago. Like, maybe I did kind of experience that when I was a student in high school in the early 90s. But in my experience in the profession, it's not like that. It hasn't been like that. Like, teachers, that's part of the professionalism, right? Is that you're building on every idea, you're making every connection, you're leading people to come to their own conclusions. It's not rote. It's not like, I said this, so you repeat this back. No, it's like making sense of things for themselves and together. And so Wow, I just wish that that was more like updated. But even when I talk to people, it's clear to me that everyone has the picture of what it is when, you know, of what when they went to school. And that's where I said, again, with our leaders being trained way back when, like, it's just different.
Well, there it is. As true as the bell rings, Tim, you know what time that is, listener. It is today's Democracy in Action. We do this here every day, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Democracy in Action. Today's Democracy in Action is this discussion, unpacking social justice education, and really Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie in this segment are Democracy in Action because they highlighted two really important core democratic values, equality and diversity. Equality, everybody should get the same treatment regardless of where their parents or grandparents were born, where they were born, their race, their religion, how much money they have. Citizens all have political, social, and economic equality. And guess who our citizens? Our students. You know who else? Their teachers. You know who else? All of us. So this is Democracy in Action, valuing equality. And then with that, and I'm telling you this, Tim and listener and everyone out there, because this isn't something made up by social justice people. This didn't come out of DEI stuff. This didn't come out of like recent Democrat politics. It comes out of core democratic values. It goes back to the founding of this country. And you want to know what this next one is that goes with equality? Diversity. It's not new. Differences in language, dress, food, where I talked about those kids and their parents and grandparents were born. We could be born in different places. We still have equal value in our communities. Race, religion are not only allowed. The differences we have are not only allowed, they're celebrated and they're what make us important. So these aren't just new liberal things. These are core democratic values of the United States Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And man, I've been going on about it because I love this part of every day's show, Democracy in Action. Thank you, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, for banging that one out of the park with us tonight.
Absolutely. They brought it. And Johnny, man, too, making us remember that what you're talking about isn't this new liberal fad. It's going back and being truly a democratic patriot, digging deep, freedom, liberty, bringing back those terms and saying, you know what, good, you want to call it social justice education, call it good education, whatever it is, but that is going back to the founding of this country around those core democratic values. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, look what you did to Johnny tonight.
Well, again, we just like to talk about the process and the reality of educating. Even when you say the word diverse, I just think about, you know, in a classroom, and this is how I would explain it to parents. It's like if you are a parent and you have multiple children, your kids are different.
Yeah.
Guess what? And so, you do different things for your different kids. You have to, they're motivated by different things. They're comforted by different things. They learn in different ways. And that's teaching. Not that I'm parenting them, but saying I have a room full of kids and they have all those things. And so then that's the beauty of being a professional educator. That's what we really know, right? Is how children learn, how they develop, how they respond, how we can make those connections. And so it has to be diverse because you got a whole group of people and nobody's like cloned in there. So that's what I hear.
And I love it. I love it. Tim, you probably know the definition I always give, and Teacher Joanna just broke it down. Diversity is a condition of difference upon which everything exists. We ourselves are like individual human beings. We aren't singularities. We are diverse cells and different warring bacteria colonies and all kinds of things. We don't eat the same thing. If we only drank water, we might not survive, right? We have to have diversity. We have to have biological diversity, cultural diversity, or we don't exist. So it's just there by condition. Now, whether we recognize and value it, that's the other piece. And that comes back for me around to what it means to be a critical educator, right? A social justice educator, beautifully critical, critically beautiful, is valuing diversity, recognizing it and valuing it. And I love how Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie break that down into where that might not always be supported. Because they're reminding us, like, hey, we're really talking about ways we ought to be teaching. It's not like there's a whole lot of teachers out there saying, not me, I'm not going to teach that way. But that it's really not supported structurally in the way that we organize schools, the way we incentivize, the way we support, and just sometimes just the very build of schools and the practice of public schooling in this country is not congruent with supporting this kind of beautifully critical that we're talking about.
I think it goes back too to what Joanna has said, is we've pointed this out. We don't value the words, the thoughts of teachers and kids. Both put those two together, the kids and the students and their teachers. What do they have to say? We don't care. We don't listen to that. We don't elevate the voices of teachers and kids, which is kind of really sad when you think about being in the business of educating communities for critically beautiful citizenship and beautifully critical citizens. How could we go without hearing from Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna and Educators Amplified out there doing the work that you guys are always doing, which is elevating those voices of teachers, educators, kids, those closest to the realities that need to be brought forward. Man, that just landed for me right there on that moment. And Hallie, you got that look of going, what, Tim is crazy or?
No, okay. I was laughing because you know what? You guys listen to Civic Media and love your listeners. So you're doing too. What you're preaching. That's why I was laughing.
Oh, that laugh though too. We're gonna bottle that laugh and keep that teacher Joanna. But I mean, this is kind of what started the conversation tonight. You know, we were having text messages back and forth preparing for the show. And it was, again, it's just that whose voices do we value? And if we could start there and saying, well, whose voices don't we hear?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I always think back on just who I am and how I've developed as a teacher. And I do know the technical stuff. But I know something that I brought with me or brought into it that I can just always point to of like, why have I loved teaching and why have I been pretty good at it? Is I always say I have a profound respect for children. Mm. I can hear them and I listen to them and I value them. And that is where, though, I'm kind of at odds with a system that says, no, I'm in charge. And no, I should tell them. And no, I should limit them in these ways. Mm. And so I've just always been sensitive, I think, when I was a student and then going into teaching, into how the setup doesn't profoundly respect children. And I often found myself being their advocate. You know, I would tell Hallie that all the time. I'd be like, we're advocates. You know what I mean? Of like, and so I just know that the majority of educators who are up in this, they have a profound respect for children. And that is, that's how they do it.
Busted pencils fully. Let it education talk. Educated educators talking education. And it's Wednesday night talking to Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. The number's 855-752-4842. You can jump in. Give us a call. Do you value students? Do you have a profound respect for children? If you do, then you want to call us, give us a call and talk to us, you know. I mean, I'm just thinking, it's like, man, I see children and I have the respect. And yeah, maybe that is it too. It's like, where are we putting that respect? How do we show that respect? How do we show that we profoundly respect children? Well, if you're a social justice educator truly doing it and doing some beautifully critical work, I'm going to bet that you profoundly respect children. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. My wife and I both, we ended up mildly sick for a few months, and the nasal congestion was probably the worst part. I had like a post-nasal drip, just super congested all the time. We were taking everything we possibly could, but nothing really worked.
Kyrie was miserable until a friend recommended Navage. Navage offers immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Don't live in misery this cold season. Use Navage so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
The biggest thing Navage has done has completely cleaned out my nasal passages. It was from the first use. I was able to just clear out anything that was stopping me from breathing correctly. Navage helps me clear the way, literally clear the way, for me to operate better in the rest of my life.
Experience the Navage difference yourself. Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Ah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And yeah, truly on Wednesdays, Educators Amplified in the house. You can't have any more educated educators talking education than when you bring Busted Pencils and Educators Amplified together. Man, critically beautiful, beautifully critical. Speaking of that, L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom's kind of beautifully critical, critically beautiful sometimes. L.A. Oh, yeah. Tom, what's happening, our friend? What's going on?
Oh, thanks, Tim. I appreciate the compliment there. no, I just wanted to say that I think that the administration of schools and superintendents and things like that don't respect the creativity or the diversity of the actual teachers. When I think about, you know, how teachers respect the diversity of students and how beautiful that is, I look at, why is it that the parents of these kids don't respect the diversity of teachers, and why they don't let the teacher run their classroom almost like it is their own business and give them the freedom to be able to actually respect the diversity of their students. And I think that would make for a much better teacher in the long run, rather than teaching them, oh man, you have to be just exactly this one way so you're not too important of a teacher, because if we get rid of you, then it's not a big deal. It's just like it is in the workplace. If you rise above everybody else, it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh man, we have to get rid of that person because that person is becoming too valuable to the company. Therefore, let's get rid of them now, because we just want people basically that can take an order or use AI or whatever. We don't want someone that's going to be actually special. And I think that's really something to really think about. And again, talking about, you know, a book I'd love to write, which is called Legacy of Teachers, about how people don't go into the teaching profession anymore. And how it's got to be where the administrators, the principals, everyone have got to respect the diversity of teachers and what it is that they bring to the table.
L.A. Tom, loving that. Respecting the diversity of teachers. I see both Teacher Allie and Teacher Joanna got that nodding, that look. Teacher Joanna, drop a little wisdom on us.
Well, what? I actually talked about this last week on the show where I said that younger teachers were saying how part of their disappointment and why they left the profession was because they weren't able to be individuals. They were like, in the interview, you wanted me to say that I believe in edible food source, you know, like an edible garden in the school, and I want to do a school garden, and I want to run these experiments. And it's like, in the interview, they wanted to know that you could stand out in some way. And then when you got there, it's exactly what Tom was saying. Then it was like, oh no, you can't do that. Like, fall in line. And so I had just talked about that last week. And then it also made me think about, well, first of all, thank you, LA Tom, for always sharing your support and understanding of the professionals. And I've been thinking lately about the difference between respect and dignity, because there are a lot of different calls for respect, but it's now we're talking about dignity. Are our teachers human who are worthy of dignity, right? And being treated well and compassionately and with understanding. And like Tom said, like celebrated for what they bring that is unique.
Just the way you even said that too, or just, you know, the difference of teachers, the diversity of teachers and how we don't respect that, and realizing that, Joanna, the way you said in the interview, we want you to talk about how awesomely unique and cool and how beautifully critical you are and how critically beautiful you are. And then when it comes time to go into the classroom, though, here's your high quality instructional materials, your scripted curriculum, and stay with fidelity to this curriculum. Because you're like, oh, but what happened to how excited you were to hear me talking about how I wanted to do really cool things with edible gardens?
Well, this is probably a topic for another day, because it's big, because specifically now I'm speaking for Hallie and her experience as a special education teacher, where that was an area where she really wanted and needed to bring her creativity to, where legally it says you can individually, you know, put something together, and how really standardized and scripted that became. And and she really struggled with that, and and I think that is also contributing to, you know, where that's one of the highest shortage areas. Because well, I think it's two different things.
Well, and I'll offer, it's interesting because I was thinking about that, but I remember also a good friend, but right when I was typing up IEPs, my teacher friend and I would always be like, and now it's time for me to put my brain in the drawer. Like, because I mean, and it's the saddest concept, but we would be like, the aspects of teaching that we thought would be creative and exciting, it was like, nope, you just put your brain in the drawer and fill out the drop down menus. So I was thinking the same thing, Joanna, just about. Yeah.
Johnny Lupinacci, I do not ever want you putting your brain in the drawer.
No.
Don't worry. I might put it on some edibles, but that's about it. But here we go, man. What a show tonight. What a great round the horn with our favorite educators, Educators Amplified. Listeners, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling LA, Tom. We love when you listen. We love when you call. Hey, listeners, big week next week. The Republican National Convention is next week, Monday through Thursday, July 15th through the 18th. Civic Media will broadcast live coverage each night from 7 to 8 p.m. Civic Media Radio Network host Todd Alba, what a guy, huh? Will broadcast live from the convention each day, noon to 2, with analysis and commentary. I'll be listening. Yes. Tim, I know you'll be listening.
I'll be listening.
Listen, we got the Civic Media app. You can get it through your smart speakers. Let's go. Also, if you're around in Madison or you're up in Minocqua, run through the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Check them out. See where you can buy progressive beer. Whew. Last thing, leave the listeners with August 13th, 2024. Make a plan, Wisconsin folks. It's always important to vote, but vote in this election. Vote in every election. Man, Tim, look forward
and to vote no on the referendum.
Well,
sorry.
Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified in the house. Thanks so much for busting pencils. Tomorrow night, trending education news. See y'all tomorrow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We build up to the RNC MKE 2024, and we bring you the latest Trump outrage, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.